We're on the telephone today with Greg McInnes, who is a vice president and insurance agribusiness manager at Central Insurance in Sioux City, Iowa. Greg works in all forms of agricultural and commercial insurance. And Greg, I wanted to get your perspective today on risk management and some of the insurance trends there as far as agriculture and agribusiness is concerned. So, again, tell us kind of where your focus is at.
Sure. I focus on the larger farm accounts that are in a maybe a transition period. It's not just your day-to-day farming. They've branched out, and there's a commercial flair, you know, to what they do. It could be the gentleman who was, you know, 20 years ago decided to sell some seed corn for a seed company, and now today they're treating the seed themselves. They're selling chemical. They're selling fertilizer. They have employees that are out, you know, applying that for their clients. They're taking a little bit of an agronomy flair to what they do, where they're actually consulting on you know, crop inputs and those type of things, and not just, you know, their facilities have gone from the typical farm site to maybe, you know, larger grain handling facilities, fertilizer handling facilities. I mean, they're storing some, you know, 32% fertilizer on property, so they have the large stainless you know, containers, those kind of things. It just creates a little different risk than just your typical farming exposure.
And you mentioned custom cattle feeding would fall into this category too.
Sure, there's some gentlemen that have taken on that approach, custom feeding of livestock, whether it be cattle or hogs, and you see that. That's probably, you know, from a custom feeding standpoint, at least in northwest Iowa and in western Iowa, the hog facilities are getting larger. You're seeing the contracts change. You know, it hasn't been that many years ago where they were basically just being reimbursed for the feeding of the animal. Now today there's some transfer of risk in the feeding contracts they have that maybe says in there that the feeder is actually responsible for the animals they're feeding. So they have to now buy back some coverages that are typically excluded in a policy. In your typical farm liability policy, there's a care, custody, and control exclusion that says if you're caring for animals of others, your farm liability would not step forward and take care of that animal if something happened to them. So in these situations, the various companies will offer a buyback, so you can buy that coverage back. So if your negligence causes that animal to be, you know, to be asphyxiated or suffocation loss, you know, hypothermia, hyperthermia loss, or anything like that, it would actually step in and cover that, or at least defend the feeder, and if in the case they were, you know, accused of that negligence.
So I guess what I hear you saying is these operations, which may have started small, keep getting larger and adding more parts to the operation that maybe their insurance needs are changing as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's very important when I sit down with anybody in agriculture these days to have a very open conversation with them about what they're doing today. What entities they have all formed, whether it be corporations or an LLCs, what relationships they maybe have with, it could be siblings that they do business with, it could be children they do business with, it could be the neighbor that they've decided to, you know, buy machinery with. You never know. It's an ever-changing environment as conditions change. Farms are growing larger, and they're becoming more and more complex.
I don't know if you can narrow it down to one or two, but what are a couple of areas where folks maybe need to take a close look at?
Yeah, well, I would say, you know, a lot of times farmers, they do a really good job of, if they invest in something, they're going to get the most out of that investment. So if whether they're custom farming, they may be custom combining, you know, combining for others, you know, they need to understand, and their agent has to sit down with them and go through and explain to them where, you know, how far their current policy takes them, where the coverages take them, and what can they purchase if they're going past that. So if they're combining for others, just so to speak, you want to understand, you know, how much of your how many dollars of custom farming does your policy automatically give you, and at what point does that coverage stop, and do you have to endorse further coverages on? And the same thing could be said. Let's say someone decided they bought some ground, and they decided that, you know, that they wanted to do some work to that ground. They wanted to put some terraces in, or they decided to do some tiling because they weren't happy with the water flow on the property, such things. And so they purchased the equipment to do that with, and once they've done that, they said, you know, we got pretty good with this. Some of my neighbors are asking for some help with this too. We're going to go help the neighbors. And, you know, they're charging for that. Well, that all of a sudden now we've created an exposure there that's not just an agriculture exposure. It's not a farming exposure. That's become a commercial exposure. And there's companies that have identified those exposures, and you're able to extend those types of coverages from your farm policy. Now, some haven't, and you may have to take out a separate commercial policy. But I think the key to that is that to know that your policies are working together, working in conjunction with each other, and if you've gone to the extent to maybe buy some additional liability coverages, maybe you've purchased an umbrella, you saw that your net worth has changed. You're concerned about protecting that big number, so you've taken out a liability umbrella. And now you have all these other things going on, and you're connecting the dots with your coverages. You want to make sure that umbrella is sitting over the top of those as well, so everything is working in conjunction with each other.
So the key is risk management, and of course, seems like every week or so we see, you know, some pretty massive civil suit situations, and it's a matter of protecting your business.
Absolutely, I mean. First of all, I identify your risks. Sit down with the person that your trusted advisor, and figure out what those risks are. Once we figure out what those risks, well, what can we do to help mitigate those? Can we transfer, you know, that risk, you know, in the form of a contract? Can we absorb that risk ourselves? You know, I mean, are we in a financial situation where we can self-insure that risk, or do we need to finance that risk? And when we make that determination, we need to finance that risk, and we look to our insurance policies and figure out how we can make sure that risk is covered within the purchase of an insurance policy.